Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. I really think you should listen to this. Accusations of being a whore, threats of ruining their career, and having an image of their face photoshopped onto a pile of burning bodies. This is just some of the abuse documented in new research from DCU about the online hostility female journalists face in this country. The report launched today involved in-depth interviews with 36 female journalists and focus groups with student journalists as well, and reveals that many journalists simply normalise the abuse they experience. Dr. Dawn Wheatley is Assistant Professor in the School of Communications in DCU and author of the report, and she joins me now, as does Aoife Barry, who's a journalist and author of the recently published book Social Capital. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Dr. Dawn Wheatley, first of all, about this report that you've authored and helped put together. It's pretty grim reading, I must say. Give us an example of the kind of abuse that female journalists get.
Hi, Cormac. Thanks for having me on. So I suppose the report, 36 interviews, as you say, and it's filled with these anecdotes. You mentioned a couple of, you know, what could be seen as highlights or low points of the report. And this, yeah, the report is just filled with these examples that journalists gave. So in the report, I suggested there are kind of sort of 15 kind of ways that when journalists are targeted, and that might just be these kind of unwanted sexual or supposedly romantic propositions, you know, a tiny thing, someone maybe reporting on sport who might compliment a player and, you know, it's assumed that she's looking for a husband, and these kind of comments. And those that sexualized nature then get more aggressive, and, you know, women journalists will have photographs of men's genitals sent to them, aggressive language, aggressive threatening images. It could come from sources who are unhappy with how a story was covered, or maybe the fact the story wasn't covered at all. And I think the fact that this kind of content is coming to their smartphones typically at all times of the day and night. You know, there are examples of women saying that they're getting messages first thing in the morning when they wake up about with threats or people unhappy or calling them all sorts of names. So it's a spectrum, as I think I've called it. Like, some is relatively low level, but then the other stuff is very, very serious.
But when you describe
all the women,
when you describe it or list it like that, Dawn, it's remarkable and alarming, I must say. It's really offensive, to say the very least. Did the journalists tell you how they responded to it?
I think, as you mentioned in your intro there, one of the most striking parts was how they downplayed it. A few of them even, they used the word like, I'm lucky I don't get it as bad as other people, but then would go on to describe something really, really troubling. And I think that this was, for me, the most striking takeaway was that this is happening, this is normalised, it's common, but for me, it doesn't make it okay. And this was really one of the big aims of this report, was to simply just get this down on paper and actually for other, not just people in the industry, but others, to actually realise that this is what is now happening day to day for women journalists in Ireland.
Can the female journalists, and I'll talk to Aoife about this in just a second, but the people you spoke to, can they just simply dismiss it as the crazy gang online and just get on with your work? Or does it have an effect, a deeper effect on their professional output?
I think it definitely has a deeper effect. And, you know, I completely understand the idea of, you know, putting on a brave face and say, look, it's fine, I'm tougher than that, it doesn't bother me, these are just these anonymous trolls. But of course, if you're waking up and you're seeing these messages and these insults coming at you, of course it has an impact. And I think that's one of the points I wanted to try to highlight, was that I saw a bit of a pattern with some of the journalists, that something happened, something specific happened. It might have been somebody saw them on the street and made, you know, sent the messages afterwards, and that feeling of knowing, feeling that they were being watched. So sometimes something like that happened, or something really personal, and it made them want to step back. And that, I think, is hopefully one of the points that's highlighted in the report, is that this is happening, that we have really, you know, competent, credible female journalists who are deciding that actually it's not worth it. Like, why would I stay in this sector and stepping back? And especially, I think, in a sector where a lot of journalists feel that there is a pressure to be visible and to be active on social media, but the more you put yourself out there, the more you seem to get back. And that was, that came from quite a lot of the interviewees. So it's a real dilemma of the professional advantages to being visible, but then the personal consequences.
Yeah, and everybody's human at the end of the day. No matter how tough somebody looks from the outside. Stay with me, Dawn, if you don't mind. Aoife Barry, as I say, joins me as well. Aoife, you're very welcome to the programme. I'd love to get your take on this, because you've read the report, I know, but you've published and you've written your own book, Social Capital, which deals with this kind of online space as well. Was this familiar to you, all of this?
Yeah, it was. And I think, you know, what really struck me was seeing all of the examples of the things that different women had experienced and realizing, oh, you know, I'm not alone. My colleagues are not alone. There's a lot of us that are experiencing this, and seeing them all written down as well, I think shows you that level of normalization, that to actually put yourself in the public eye and to make your work visible and to do good work and to feel like you want people to read it means putting yourself on social media, you know, and putting yourself on social media means you have to be open to a higher level of criticism than you would be if you were just normally publishing your articles and you didn't have kind of access to social media. Like in my book, I look at people who aren't reporters, of people who've experienced cyberbullying and racism online, and there is a lot of hate across a lot of different sectors. But I think for journalists in particular as well, there can be that level of, well, you put yourself out there, don't complain about the fact that you're going to get somebody calling you a name. But actually, it does have a very deep effect on people, and that normalization can mean that you're minimizing stuff, you know, to kind of survive online. And I just think that seeing it all in one place shows that something needs to be done, not just obviously for journalists, for everybody who's a user of social media. It's just one part of the harm that can happen to people, because on the other side is all the wonderful positive things we get from social media, and that's why we're there. But to have to put up with a high level of abuse just isn't really right, and isn't something that can continue, I think.
And sustained abuse at times, Aoife, as well. You were one of a number of female journalists who were harassed for 7 years, is that right?
Yeah, and I think our case was really interesting. There was a man who was jailed due to the harassment, and our case is interesting because it crossed over kind of the barrier in terms of from email and online social media. So the guy was actually following us on Twitter. So he saw what we were doing on Twitter, the six women involved in the case, and then was contacting us by email, sending us our tweets, sending us this commentary, this harassing commentary for those years. So, you know, there was nobody there that could kind of protect us or help us. You know, I was really supported by my employer at the time. I supported all of us colleagues that worked together, were supported. We couldn't get anybody to stop him. We couldn't stop him until we went to the Gardaí.
Was it frightening?
Again, you know what it was? I think part of it was that normalization where you thought, I'm a bit worried about this. I don't know if this person's going to turn up at events if I say I'm on Twitter. You know what I'll do is I won't mention where I am. I'll make sure that I'm safe. I'll make sure I don't put myself out there.
But was there ever an occasion, Aoife, where you were at a work event or a social event even, you said, uh-oh, this could be your man?
Well, I think if I look back at about 5 or 6 years ago, before the court case happened, I was, you know, having to say that I was at, you know, specific events talking or maybe interviewing people. And any time I had to do that and say, I'm turning up to this event at this time, this place, I was always worried. And even today when I do that, you know, if I have to say where I'm going to be, you do have in your mind, like, is somebody reading this who I don't want to be reading this? Because somebody was reading it who I didn't want to read it, and they knew what I was doing, and they were emailing me constantly. So, and not just me, obviously, a number of other people.
My God. Can I ask you both really briefly? I've only 1 minute left. What do you think should happen here on the back of this? Obviously, something needs to happen. Aoife, first of all.
Well, I think if you read Dr. Wheatley's report, you'll see there's really, really clear recommendations that she can probably detail there that social media companies could put into place, you'd imagine, pretty quickly.
Okay, Dawn?
Yeah, I think that was the overarching recommendation, was for social media platforms to be more proactive and try to prevent this happening. But I think in the report, I also want to draw attention to managers and editors, because I think there's definite room for improvement in a lot of newsrooms about the recognition that I think their journalists, the reporters especially, and especially the women reporters.
Okay.
And there's definite room for improvement, I think, in building awareness and making sure that supports are available there.
Okay. Look, it's great to talk to you both. It's a really important issue. Maybe we don't discuss it, obviously, enough, because I know female politicians as well who are interviewed in the public space get a type of abuse that simply doesn't happen to male politicians. Look, Dr. Dawn Wheatley of DCU and Aoife Barry, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.